Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Harmontown. I'm your guest comptroller, Ryan Ridley. And please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Comptroller Ridley, thank you. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you for the Sugar Cube song.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the Sugar Cubes.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't want me to know what you were playing.
It was a little surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very nice. Yeah. You're a very intimate friend.
Yeah. It's a callback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for you tonight. I think you're going to control very well.
I'm feeling nervous right now, but
really?
I appreciate it.
What's the worst thing that you think you might do?
Say something that I think is going to be funny and then it's not funny.
Say the funniest thing you could think of right now. Let's just live through the nightmare. What's the funniest thing about pickles that you could even think of?
Oh my God! Well, now I have to ad lib something.
I'll do a reverse improvised knock knock joke. Who's there?
Knock knock.
Who's there? God damn it! It better be pickle. I've been waiting for a pickle. Who's there?
It's a stork.
The stork from the pickle
commercials?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why are you here at my door? Who are you? Stork who?
I don't know. Vlasic? Mr. Vlasic? Is that his name?
All right. Well, come on in. Come in.
All right.
How are you?
I'm great.
I ordered pickles. I didn't know the stork would come.
Yeah, man.
Sit down.
Thanks.
I was just watching The Wire.
What's it about?
Crime. Not pickles or babies.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a stereotype.
We sell pickles on corners where I come from.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're familiar with the concept of controlling a corner, owning a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys do that in The Wire.
Okay, I get it.
All right. Let's keep watching. Six hours later. I don't know. Why are they focusing on the stevedores so much this season? Yeah, I miss Stringer Bell. I guess they're trying to prove what is obviously the case, which is they're very good writers and they're not drug dealer dependent.
Uh-huh.
4 hours later, fucking Stringer Bell's back. Yeah, they caved. 5 hours later, that was a good finale. I'm gonna try to emulate that for season 3 of Community. A year and a half later, fuck. Shit, fucked it. Why was I trying to emulate The Wire on a sitcom? All right, so I got some bones to pick.
Whew.
Yeah. Oh, see, how did it feel? Yeah, I said something.
Shaking, man.
Yeah. But now you know nothing can harm you.
Yeah.
Listen to these guys.
You'll do the heavy lifting.
You're eating out of your... I got some bones to pick. Oh, hi, Enty. Oh, Enty's back. Weren't you? What? It's Enty's birthday? Oh, well, we'll do something special for Enty's birthday. I hope you wanted for your birthday me picking pop cultural bones. That's the name of our segment. Ryan doesn't have an iPad or anything. So there's no...
I can't improvise jingles. Yeah. I told you that.
I want your girlfriend to come and play violin for the segment. She didn't bring her violin. Ryan's girlfriend's a violinist.
Yeah.
She's like an accomplished violinist. Like she's like third, fourth chair. And it goes by DEFCON, so that's better than first chair. First chair violin, you're in trouble. It means war is about to happen. You don't want to be that. Fourth chair is good. They still call it a fiddle at fourth chair. And then it becomes slowly you work your way to a violin. And then you jump forward to the timpani. I went to Ben Folds was at the Hollywood Bowl, and I was watching. He works really well with these orchestras and stuff. And there's this guy. I mean, I really want to talk about the. I really have
the guy
like,
goes like
yeah,
that.
The 30 questions I have for the cymbal guy. I was watching him all night because I was like, man, is he like what? And I'm sure your girlfriend probably could answer these questions. She's probably been involved.
She's right there, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I don't like to look at her. I'm very uncomfortable around women and musicians, like, so she's double trouble for me. But what, Mia, are you capable of answering questions in front of a crowd about? Oh, okay. No. Okay. All right. I won't put you in a spot then. But it's like the guy, he sits in back, and then I was just watching him, and he sits there in silence for a while. He's reading the music along with it, and he's like, yeah, no cymbals on this page. And then he turns the page, and then you see him start to. He gets up, super professional. I mean, he's in the LA Philharmonic, but he just plays the cymbals. So it's like, is he when he goes home? Is he like a massive drummer? Like, and he's like, well, fucking the LA Phil is, you know, hard to get into. So I'm honored to play just one part of the drum kit for such a prestigious band. But come see me tonight with Fuckface at Spaceland. Yeah. And I will shred those fucking skins, man. And he's just sitting there like, I hope my fucking conductor's in the audience. And then he like hit the night that his conductor comes, he like does a whole like fucking drum fill, like brr, 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 and then he hovers his stick over a cymbal and then he drops it. and he goes like, there's more to it than that, Mike. And Mike's like, I just conduct. I don't write the fucking. What do you want, a cymbal symphony? You want me to write like a concerto for a cymbal? Psst. The overture. All right. Thank you for clapping. The president of the Lost Cause Department. All right. So here's my bone I wanted to pick. All right. So I think that enough time has passed now to talk about this, and I don't think I'm going to talk about it insensitively. 9/11. No. Don't you think it was a little weird? I think thoughtful but weird when Princess Diana died and Elton John just said, oh, this song's about her too. his Marilyn Monroe song that's like literally in the song. He's like, your name was Norma Jean and you changed it to Marilyn Monroe and this is a song about you. And then Princess Diana died, and he's like, also, Princess Diana, you are also a candle in the wind.
It's not We Didn't Start the Fire.
right.
That covers everything.
Yeah, he did. Well, yeah, that. See, Billy Joel. Get Billy Joel did.
Yeah, he thought ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he probably didn't like Princess Di. He was probably like, good. she did start the fire. I'm just going to add her death to my next song. Nuclear War and Mario Kart and Princess Diana. He's just like, fucking, I'm just going to make history about me. I'm Billy Joel. But Elton John, I don't know. Was that a cool move to be like, it's also about you. And also, like, the song itself, even when it was just about Marilyn Monroe, this isn't a rhetorical question. Just like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Isn't it kind of a dick move to have your whole song be like, he's like, I didn't know you. I was too young. You're old and you're dead. And then also, like, your candle blew out long before your legend ever did. Well, of course it. What the fuck are you talking? Why is that even a remarkable thing to say? Also, it's kind of rubbing your face. Like, You're a corpse now, but people heard of you. Wow. Like, you have that in common with Attila the Hun. I'm sure Marilyn Monroe's zombie would be like, yeah, but I'd rather be alive. I'd rather my candle not have burnt out. Like, and who are you? I don't know you. I'm too young. The bitch is back. He's not even that young. He's like he's. I think it was just a song about how he's just like, you know, he's just like, ah, look how young I was. I was just a kid when Marilyn Monroe died. Don't brag about that. And then Princess Di dies, and he's like, guess what? Do-do-do. Write a new song. All right. Obviously, you guys disagree or are 25. fine. I really thought. Remember when I said I got something juicy to talk about?
I couldn't wait.
How sad is it that that was it? As I, I'm not going to tell you because I want your real reactions. Yeah. You're just sitting there. That's which is fine. I don't want you to start thinking you have a job. Like, am I supposed to be talking more?
Yeah, no. You keep looking at me.
No. I just
like, should I? No, that's Jeff, probably no. Shit, no, that's I got that's, nothing.
What happened? Did somebody just vape? There was a puff of smoke that went up. Maybe something started on fire. Sorry. Okay, so these are all secondary to that topic. These are all less interesting.
I think I'm going to like this one better.
I got picked up from the airport once. Don't have to be sarcastic. I get it. You don't know who Elton John is. Maybe you guys should write a song about it. Goodbye, Elton John. We were too young to know who you were too young to be singing about when you sang about being too young to know somebody that died. It seems to me you lived your life making one song about multiple people, never knowing which dead person to ride the coattails of. I would have liked to be mad about it, but I was just a kid when you were irrelevant. That song was already annoying before everyone else died that you made it about. All right. So I got picked up from the airport. And I always ask a driver, so I like to make small talk, and I know what the drivers like to talk about. I always ask them, who's the most famous person? Or just name it, like, who's... I don't even know if the most famous person. Just tell me somebody that stuck out that drove in your car. You know, it's like a car guy. You know, they drive people. They're mm-hmm. in L.A. Definitely. Sometimes you hear, oh, Alan Alda was a really nice guy. Or Bruce Willis was mean to me or something like that. It's kind of fun. This guy said, well, I picked up a guy named D.L. Hughley. And you know him? And I said, I've heard of D.L. Hughley. I know who that is. And he said, yeah, he wanted the Red Door service.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, what's Red Door service? He's like, yeah, you know, there's if you're famous, there's a Red Door at LAX you can be taken to. It's like a VIP door? I guess that's why you never see Harrison Ford, like, getting frisked at the airport. Like, he doesn't just have a private jet.
I saw Frank Langella once.
Yeah. He's like Purple Door. but like, I guess there's a Red Door. I don't know. I might.
Well, did he tell you more about it?
What's it look like? He said I pulled him up to a thing and it was like a red door. Huh? Like
it was red?
Yes. That part. Okay. I don't remember that part of the conversation. I just want to know, you know, what's up with the red door. I told you it was worse than the thing. All right. So.
Yeah.
I had a barbecue today. Saying goodbye to my assistant Daniela, who's moving on to be a mother. You don't have to.
Did you get a new assistant?
No, I already hired a new assistant. I'm sorry. I mean, I get to pick. I creme de la creme, man. I'm talking to people like, yeah, I used to roll joints for so and so. I'm like, okay, I took Rennie Harlan's dog to the vet. I'm like, yeah. Well, what have you done for me lately? I'm picking from the pros. Okay, so not that you, sir, are not, and not that assisting Rennie Harlan would chop your make you better. So I had a goodbye party for her.
Yeah,
and there were balloons. We got a tank of helium.
Ooh.
And I said,
I can see where this is going.
And I saw this big helium tank. It looks exactly like a propane tank. And Aaron was like, can you put that over there? And I was like, fuck, man, my back. This is going to be a bummer. And I went and picked it up. Tanks of helium are very light. It's like a metal tank filled with something lighter than air. And I was like, I was so overjoyed by that. I was like, this is like a joke. It's like a cartoon. Like the tank is light.
Does it technically make it lighter than the tank if it was empty? You know what I mean?
I would think so, because it's lighter than air. That's why balloons float. Yeah, it's lighter than air.
right.
If you put enough helium into, I guess, a thin enough tank, you could fly. Uh-huh. It's a dirigible, right? Uh-huh. It's a, yeah. Tanks of helium are lighter. You guys should have been more into the candle and the wind
stuff.
What's
in a blimp?
I could have done it 30 minutes on it, but I hit a sandbar with you and I moved on. I moved on to shit. You deserved it.
What's in a blimp?
What's in a blimp?
Yeah.
Hydrogen? Hydrogen? Helium?
Really?
Well, now helium, but hydrogen when it blew up the humanity one,
yeah.
Hindenburg.
You know, a lot of people survived the Hindenburg because they just jumped off.
It wasn't that high up. Yeah, I'm sure they were like, fuck.
And not that many people died either.
Yeah. How many people?
The guy was being a drama queen.
The humanity.
Yeah.
Guy?
Literally, like 16 people died.
Well, he doesn't.
I guess if you're sensitive, but, then
he should have said, "Oh, the blimpery." Oh, the overhead. Uh-huh. Oh, the insurance paperwork. This is going to be a week of tough work down at Lloyd's of London.
I mean, the thing that everybody fantasizes about with the plane crash, people actually did on the Hindenburg. Like, I can just jump off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hurt themselves.
There must have, I mean, those 16 people were probably like, kind of cooler, more confident people. Like, they looked up and saw an entire blimp burning up the entire thing, and they were like, they wouldn't let us on this thing if they didn't know what they were doing. I'm gonna hang out. That's the part of the blimp that no one uses. It's a bunch of hydrogen. I'm gonna people panic too much. Those are the 16 people. The other people were like, it's 50 feet. I can make it. Yeah. So Ryan is half Irish, half Jewish.
I'm not half Irish, first of all.
Well,
but I'm half not Jewish, is what you're trying to say.
So what's the half that's not Jewish?
Hey,
it's not Irish?
No, it's English, German, other stuff close to Irish.
But your name is Ridley.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Ryan Ridley.
Yeah. No, it does, yeah.
I suppose you'd like a taste of me magic.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
If I was half Irish, then I wouldn't focus on the Jewish part so much.
Right.
Because Irish competes with that identity.
So right. Like, it kind of evens you out.
Yeah. Like I'm nothing. I'm like a bunch of random other European. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that kind of kills my. Yeah.
You're not. I mean, your bit that you told me, you're not Irish, right?
I'm like half Irish, half Polish, half Cherokee.
For the point of your bit, you can do Jewish and
I don't know if my bit was a bit. Like the idea that it was a bit was a bit.
Uh-huh.
But we could realize your nightmare of doing a bad bit. Like
like I don't have to do anything.
Ryan is half Jewish, half Irish. I could, to the extent that that's true, I'm fully Irish. And then we have our friend Dave Horowitz, who I think is full-blown Jew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, full tilt.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, actually, seven points on his Star of David. There's just an extra one there for just for safety.
Yeah.
And I thought the joke would be, this is the hackiest that we would have him stand on one side and me stand on the other, and we would get questions or hit you with scenarios, and then we would give you advice from each side.
Yeah.
And it's like once you explain that bit, it's over. Like. Like doing it doesn't really work.
I mean, it depends on you guys.
Yeah.
If you come up with really funny answers.
Like, let's just do the most obvious. Like, Dave Horowitz, can you come up? Are you here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
A full Jew.
Yeah. Full
100%.
Jew.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us. What's your curriculum vitae? Like, how Jewish? Like, just prove you're. Yeah, like, what do you? You're not just. You're really Jewish.
I mean, I'd say like maybe like not religiously, which is what all Jews say. So right there.
Yeah, you're more Jewish now.
I talk with my hands exclusively, so very
Could
Jewish.
Could be Italian.
Yeah. Well, TV writer.
Right. Okay.
There, that tilts it over.
That really.
There
are no Italian TV writers. So.
Also, you can't see, but like I'd say, like the most Jewish is from nose to like this is the most Jewish. Have you ever seen a more Jewish thing than this nose and these eyebrows? It's a very bad podcast bit, but
right.
Google image search me right now, right. And you'll see.
He's pointing at like he's got Eugene Levy eyebrows.
Yeah, but like.
But you like, pull it off. You're a handsome man.
But like if Eugene Levy was in like maybe like a band, you know what I mean?
In Silver Lake, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they were doing kind of well, like, you know, maybe like they were being scouted. They weren't signed, but like an indie label was maybe interested in Eugene Levy's band.
Right. All right, so let's just try this hack bit. Okay, so Ryan... someone asked. Wait, how does it work? If we, someone name a situation for Ryan. A topic.
Condoms.
Okay, condoms. Okay. All right. So Ryan, the topic is condoms.
All right, I got it. All right, listen. Okay. I'm at my place with a woman. Just brought her home. Don't know her. Met her at
what?
A bar. Yeah. Listen.
Yeah,
trust me. It
yeah,
makes
what?
Sense.
Wait, how did it go down? Hold on. What did you say? What did you say to her to get her back
I had
to your
some
place?
Moves.
What? Name one of them.
Well, I mean, what would an Irish person say?
Did you write her a poem?
Why don't I just
it's the worst bit ever. It's just the worst. I'm kind of enjoying how bad it is.
I've got a real question.
A Jewish person might say like, hey, I have that Woody Allen PBS documentary DVR if you want to watch the first part of it. Maybe we'll get to the second part unless we get distracted. And then you do that.
Man. The first part's like 2 hours.
Yeah, you gotta ease into it. You gotta wait until the first hour's over to put your arm over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what, if I was Irish, what should I do to take home some bar skis? I guess is the scenario.
She can be a nice girl.
That's what a Jew would say. An Irish guy.
She can be a nice girl, Ryan.
I think you should. Just take her down to the ocean and watch it not compromise. Rub two lumps of coal together to symbolize the unmitigated freedom.
Should I use a condom? I guess is the...
No, you've got to make more Irish children to...
A Jewish person would tell you to wear like the tight, like wear two, wear
seven,
three,
yeah,
and have
yeah.
her
you
wear
know
one.
How many diseases there are?
Have her be in another room when you're having sex. You can never be too safe, honey. What?
I'm definitely more Jewish. Yeah.
Well, you, I was with you when you Jewed out. You.
Yeah.
I want. Is that an acceptable phrase?
Wait, yeah.
I don't know.
What else could you call it?
When we were back in the early 2000s, like when you were like, I started to watch you start to become increasingly Jewish. Like it was like you were like Eric Stoltz in The Fly 2. Yeah, like you were a normal kid and then you were like, then you started climbing the walls a little bit.
Wait, what? How did the transformation start?
I think you just started going to shul a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah. Yeah, like I'm always fascinated with mythology and Judeo-Christian mythology in particular. We had a lot of interesting, provocative conversations about whether the sequel holds up and stuff. And
uh-huh.
and then you're like, I'm going to Israel, and I'm like, see you when you get back.
You didn't like that? Well, it's like going to the Disneyland of mythology. I rode the rides, man.
You have to be this high to wail at this wall. You can't. I don't know. I was just losing a friend. I don't know. I can't do long distance relationships. I'm not gonna Skype with you with your little beard and your tassels or whatever.
But you did.
I do. Well, as a bit, like for a show, I did the. I had you send a recording. Yeah. And I pretended it was a Skype conversation in a video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow a beard?
Fuck yeah. This big.
He had a. He looked like fucking. It's amazing. like it's. It's like. It. I guess it is like a thing. Like you could just like. It
grows when you step off the plane, right? Like when you get onto Israeli soil. And just...
When you see like an Orthodox. Is that the right term? An Orthodox Jew. Like walking in that neighborhood in L.A. Like, can you see the Indiana Jones hat and the like beard and the witness Amish suit? You know the. You always go like, wow, that's such an alien, weird thing. But my friend went over to Israel and he got on this Skype thing and it was like, he looked like he wasn't doing a bit. Like, it wasn't like a prop beard. That is just what anyone can look like if they spend enough time.
The beard was real and I think I threw on a jacket because I brought a suit. But I mean, I found that hat just laying around. Well, literally. Gosh. Like, I was like, oh, there's seven of them. Okay, this one fits.
I'm sure they're just.
I didn't have one of the
blowing
Indiana
down
Jones
the streets.
Yeah.
I've never been to Israel, but I'm pretty sure that they like pull some kind of weird, mystical voodoo on you to basically make you grow the beard. Like, my brother went on Birthright, which is like a free trip you can go on up till I think 26. And he wasn't religious at all, and he called. I feel so bad for him because he got swindled because he's such a sweetheart. But he called me. It was like 4 a.m. his time, and he went, "David." I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "It's the motherland." He's so. And I was like, "What? What's that, buddy?" He's like, "It's the motherland. It's so beautiful." I'm like, "I bet it is. What happened?" And he's like, "I went to this store, and this woman told me that I reminded her of her son who was fighting in the Golan Heights." And I was like, "Oh no, you got swindled. How much money did you spend?" And she's like, "She gave me this pendant, and she said it was his." And she said, "I want you to have this." And I was like, "How much? How much?" And he's like, "It was $350. And I was like, "No." Because you know that the second he left the store, she just took another pendant and put it on the thing. And was like, "You remind me of my son."
Well, the truth is, a lot of people there look like her son.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And she just has a box of her son's stuff. She's not really swindling people. She's just like, "Fuck. If you see another guy..." Never mind. But she's always charging $350.
"This is my son's corn t-shirt. He would have wanted you to have it.
But he would have wanted you to pay me $350 to get 17 boxes of corn t-shirts printed on Cafe Press."
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton & Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes, is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton & Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like a little... Like, you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tip house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, There's different levels of Mexican tit ass. I mean, there's the high quality ones. There's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas fantásticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit ass?
Yeah.
Que fantástico.
Fulton & Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house, it's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right, and I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonAndRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
I think it's delightful. I think wasps suffer from lack of mythology, lack of rites of passage. We have confirmation, maybe, kind of. A lot of kids out here probably had confirmation, maybe, if they were Catholic enough. Mm-hmm. But there's really. Some people got drunk and had to go hunt with their dads and kill a deer, maybe. I think that's probably a thing of the past. Most of us got in a fight with someone on prom night, but there's not enough of the you know,
as if bar mitzvah these days are so pure, the ritualistic.
Well, that's another topic though. It's like the secularization of the theology in Judaism like hasn't like. Made it less functional. Like that's what I like. As a Jewophile, whatever the word is. I'm always jealous of the fact that it's like, yeah, they figured it out. They got a religion where they believe in an entity that they can have one foot in, one foot out. They can get their shit done. The focus is on community and family. It's not based on this McDonald's like, hey, fuck it. Hey, whose city wants one? You can have one. Here's your Big Mac maker. What? The health department closed you down? We don't know you. where there's no Vatican in Judaism. There's no like, it's not like Subway. You know, it's not like this like. Subway's also a great company. that being able to shoot outdoors in season 6 made me totally reliant on. So I didn't mean to connect those dots. Subway actually, I think Subway would probably say, they wouldn't say this, but they would, if on off record, they might say, no, we function more like Judaism than Christianity, because I think the reason why Subway is able to be so game is that they actually are, they're like a disbanded group of franchises. Like, they don't, there isn't like a central capital where it's like, I'm Mr. Subway and I'm angry. I want to take over the world. Who's not helping me? Like, Subway is more Jewish than Christian. If there's 12 Subway employees in one place, that's a minion. You can make new rules for Subway. I think that's really cool. And you know, if you bring a baby into Subway, they will cut his little wiener and suck the blood with their mouths.
They might.
Is community like the cool Christian church that plays guitar?
Subway's cool. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. The right? Pastor that like sits backwards in his chair, like, guys, let me rap to you about a friend of mine named JC.
Yeah. Yeah, like. Well, I guess that's the thing Judaism and Christianity have in common. They always bury the lead. It's all like, no one can be genuinely proud. Like those Christian shows for kids that are like, listen, this show is called How to Rock for Jesus. How to get your parents to do whatever you want. Well, I'm gonna tell you. I know the guy who wrote the book on being radical. It's Jesus Christ. like they dry you in. That's like 20 minutes into a 40 minute Kirk Cameron tape you're watching. You know, that was just called Super Dude, and it's just like 20 minutes in. It's like Ecclesiastes 1:13 says, "Oh man."
Yeah, these girls came up to me at a mall when I was in, like 16, and were like, "Hey, you want to go to a party tonight?" I'm like, "Do I? Yeah." Turns out it was church.
Church.
That was the big thing in my neighborhood, Brown Deer, Wisconsin. It was the lock-ins. We're having a lock-in. Like the cutest girls in high school. There's going to be a lock-in. Like they didn't know that they were advertising this thing. Like they didn't. It was just a natural, organic thing that was happening. It was like some studly dude with a guitar and long hair, who then like all the girls have crushes on him. He sends them out. Like, why don't you guys go tell all your friends? Like, let's just hang out tomorrow. We gotta lock the doors, you know, for you know, just because, you know. Not because anyone's gonna want to leave once I reveal why we're actually there. It's just so that non-rocking people can't get in after midnight.
This is high school?
Yeah.
Just like kids you went to school with or kids in the town or?
Yeah. It was a small Midwestern town, so there was a lot of people that loved them some Jesus.
It's such a culty vibe.
There's church youth groups. They're everywhere. I mean, that's like I'm sure by applause how many people went through a small Christian phase in their teenage years. Like, you don't know. See?
Whoa.
It's our shul. It's our Israel. It's our.
Is anyone going through a Christian phase now?
that's the
it's
thing
cool
that's
to do when you're an adult.
Wait, I want to try one. Has anyone been to a bar mitzvah where they had blow up inflatable saxophones? Yeah. Inflatable saxophones is my religion.
How many Jews are in the audience?
Is your mother Jewish?
Oh.
More people clapped that time than who's Jewish.
Yeah.
So you explained to me the reason for the mother rule is, of course, because there before paternity tests, before modern society, if you had to know, the only way you could know for sure where you came from was the mother side.
It was like rape-proofing it, right?
That's
what somebody told me.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of Roman soldiers.
If you go by paternal lineage, you can start to fudge the books, but it's hard to fake a birth. So Jewishness goes by the mother's side. If you're half Jewish on your mom's side, you're allowed to just go, I'm totes Jewish.
Yeah.
Sorry about my dad getting in there, but won't happen again. I will carry this torch.
Yeah.
I will go on J-Date and I will...
The Jewish mother versus Jewish father creates a real, like, school days schism amongst half-Jews. Yeah. Yeah, she knows what I'm talking about.
Is that true? Wait, what do you mean?
Spike Lee's school days.
We know that.
Let me explain something.
It's a movie that Spike Lee did. What do you...
Why? What's the controversy? Is it just
She knows what I'm talking about.
Well, why are you putting it off on her? What do you...
Yeah, you're right. I guess I'm the one with the mic. Yeah. The half Jews whose mother are Jewish kind of has like, well, I'm the real Jew. You're not. You're just a half Jew biologically. I'm not saying it's good.
You're saying there are Jews who were born on their mom's side, half Jews who would look
down their nose at the ones whose dad
look down
Jewish.
Their prodigious noses.
they're not. Yeah.
Don't take this lightly. I'm gonna look down my nose.
It's taking me a long time to look down this nose, so know that I mean it when I say it, motherfucker.
Yeah, man. Dave Horowitz was looking down his nose at me the other day.
It took forever.
It was exhausting. He had to take a break halfway through. A glass of water. that nose thing. I guess I've seen the nose thing, but
yeah, you're looking at it.
You don't have a big nose. No, you don't. Not at all. Not even close. You have Eugene Levy eyebrows. That's you don't have. You do
but
not.
But like we agreed, the cooler version.
The
cooler.
Oh yeah, no, the hip. So
yeah.
But like, that's crazy. That's some
like,
kind of body.
Like he called,
you
like,
have body dysmorphia if you think your nose is unusually.
I'm just saying that Eugene Levy, I am, would like want you to call him Gene. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
Maybe it's my. I have like you know, kind of face blindness, self-diagnosed aloofness. So maybe I just don't see noses.
How can you miss it?
I embarrassingly was unaware of what a minority I was in as a Jew, because like the town I grew up in is small, and it's at this point like 74% Jewish, more temples than churches, and I got to school and like college, and nobody, like everyone I talked to was like, you're like, and they thought for a half a second, like, you're like the third Jewish person. No, hold on. That guy, what's the second? I think you're the second Jewish person I've ever talked to. And I couldn't believe it. And I experienced such like mild anti-Semitism, because it would just be like a kid on my floor who was super drunk would be like, so you're Jewish? I'm like, uh-huh. So like, you don't, like Christmas is like not, like it's like, do you don't do, I'm like, no, we don't, I don't, my family doesn't do it. And he's like, well, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, they're just like, well, because they grew up in the same scenario you did, except the other way around. I was like, I don't know, I guess there might have been some Jewish kids around. It's just like, it wasn't introduced, I wasn't indoctrinated into it until, like, it slowly trickles into your awareness, because you're just talking about a bunch of white people. It's a lot easier to get indoctrinated into racism on the grade school playground, and then it's more of a like high school college thing. Like you slowly hear this weird word that doesn't mean anything, and then you go to college and you meet someone that, and you go like, okay, so what's that? And you ask them a bunch of weird questions, the way that you might ask a black person weird questions if you didn't grow up around them. Which would be mildly racist because of your strange, misdirected, like seeking of truth and well-roundedness.
But then, and then also you just observe like, oh, not everyone's last name ends in like Witz or Stein or like Gold or Berg.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit to get straight. I mean, that's
a lot more Smiths outside of Sharon, Massachusetts. A lot more.
Ah, Jews. All right.
Hey, Dan?
Yeah.
Can I have some more vodka?
Yeah. I mean, I don't usually serve it, but you're doing great.
Way to go, Ryan. Ryan Ridley! Hey, Auntie.
This one's for Auntie's birthday. Auntie's been moonlighting at other podcasts. But we're always happy to see him. All right, so...
What else you got?
What's that?
What else you got?
Well, I want to bring out my my rabbi friend Spencer Crittenden.
Woo! Yeah.
All right. I know. I got to play my first high five.
That
from
was
Spencer.
A really good high five.
That was the weirdest.
I didn't get a high five from Spencer.
I was about to say, you know who didn't get a high five?
Yeah.
Ryan Ridley.
All right, a lot of backstory to Spencer and I's relationship.
It's a very complex and storied history.
It'll come through.
It'll shine. It always shines through. It always shines through.
Do you have something you want to say, Spencer?
I have so many things that I want to say right now.
All right, let's
say one of them.
Okay, what was all this you were saying about helium, Dan? Because I had some issues.
It's lighter than air?
It sure is.
And so the tank is lighter.
It is lighter than if you had a tank equally sized of, say, you know, like...
air.
Propane.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Or air.
It's still not, you know, it's not lighter than air on its own. It's just, it's pressurized, so it's denser than air.
But even pressurized, it's lighter than pressurized air.
It's lighter than equally pressurized air, yes.
So looking at a tank of helium that looked like a similar tank of propane, I was like, the reason why I was amazed as I lifted it up is because of what was inside it.
Helium.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I don't have any issues then. It just sounds like you're saying, oh, it's floating away. It's this helium.
No, no. I mean, I don't... it's possible.
They got to get that shit in blimps.
It's possible that the same way they dye cheddar cheese orange, like, because otherwise you wouldn't think it was cheese, they might make helium tanks lighter material.
You know what?
So that you're like so that people are shopping for helium, they're like, oh, fuck this brand helium. The tank's fucking, like can barely lift it, Martha. Oh, look at this. This is the light stuff.
This is a good one. That's a good tank.
What's weird about the cheese thing you were talking about is they get you on both sides with the cheese. They dye it orange. They're like, oh, this is cheese. This is what cheese looks like, orange. And then they come back with you on the backside. How about this fine aged white cheddar?
Yeah.
It's just the same cheese without fucking dye in it. And they say it's better.
Yeah.
But then they say it's good cheese because it has dye in it. I'm upset about cheese.
I think you should be.
It's a lot better things. That's the best thing I've been upset about in a while, I gotta say.
Spencer, I think that, and I only say this because I'm a cheddar enthusiast and I'm not trying to step on anything you're saying, but I thank you. I think that maybe when it's extra sharp or sharp, it tends to be white, and then regular levels of sharpness, that's the orange. So maybe that's how they're distinguishing it.
You know, outside of Tillamook, I don't know what to say, but a lot of cheeses are very sharp as well as orange. So I mean, I don't know. This is a great argument to have, I think.
I don't know if it counts as an argument.
I'm arguing. I think it does. Well, now it definitely is.
Well, I agree with you, so now it's not an argument.
Well, I disagree. Well, I guess...
You disagree with me agreeing with you.
Agreeing with you, yeah.
Hey, Spencer.
Hey, Ryan Ridley.
What's your favorite level of sharpness?
When I have... I'd say, you know...
Wait. I just wanted the record to show that Ryan gave me a very sly look when he asked that question. Yeah.
Watch this.
I think I finally figured this controlling out.
Like, the trap has been set.
I'm about to let her rip. Extra sharp, I guess.
You go all
that's the
way.
Right answer.
All right.
Wait, I could have made that up. Ask me what my favorite type of denim is.
What's your favorite type of denim?
High grade, best denim.
He's right. That's
extra
a good grade.
Sharp might be too sharp for some people. Anybody? Anybody?
Well,
regular
why
sharp?
Did you tell him he was right when he said extra sharp? If
because
it's all subjective.
Did you hear how just... two people clapped? Because I am right.
All right. We got to get
have
Ryan.
A lot of true. Cheese opinions.
All right. If you've just tuned in.
if you ask yourself, what's going on at minute 54 of a podcast?
This may become a spin-off podcast of cheese craftsmen.
Oh, man.
We went to Holland once, me and Aaron and Rob Schraub and his wife, and we somehow, like, we had asked the travel agent, like, she was like, you want me to help you have a good time? Not like that. That sounds weird. and we're like, yeah, I guess. And she's like, you know, you should take a tour of the windmills and where they make the cheese and stuff. And it was like, we were like, okay, at some point someone agreed to this. So I think someone just asked the hotel owner, like, is there someone that would want to take them out and look at the windmills and the cheese? And then that guy must have been like, okay, sure. And then got off the phone and was like, what the fuck are they talking about? And called another guy. So long story short, like, we get one morning, we all have to get on our winter clothes and go out in the front of the hotel where this guy he's a cab driver. And he's just the guy that the hotel owner knows. Like, can you drive them to the windmills?
And he's a
then,
fixer.
And then also, here's some extra money. Tell them about the windmills and the cheese. And so this guy was just walking around chain smoking, talking about the windmills. But he was just a guy. And we went into this cheese factory, and that's when it got really weird. Because he walked in, and he was like trying to earn this money he made. But he was just a cab driver. But he was in this cheese museum and factory, so he was like walking up onto the exhibits and fucking with cheese, like touching the exhibit cheese. And then people would come over and yell at him in Dutch, and then he'd say something in Dutch back and be pointing at us. And I was clearly saying, like, look, I have these four American people. Like, I'm being paid a lot of money. I'll give you 20% if you let me keep rolling with this. And they would kind of walk away confused, go back behind the gift counter, and he's like churning shit. Like, what the fucking, like, don't touch this. He's behind the velvet rope going, and then there's other tourists gathering and going like, oh, this guy's talking about how to make cheese. He doesn't work there. He had lost his mind. He was a rogue cheese exhibitor. And it was like, and then he's like, and then we do this, and then we do that. And he's like, you kept using the word we, and I'm looking around at everyone in their dirndls and their wood shoes and their napkin hats or whatever. And they're like rolling their eyes and the cab driver has taken over the museum. He's lost his mind. We don't have police here. We just have a bunch of cameras. Weed is legal. So what is this? And the guy like is just showing us how they make cheese. He grates some. He like peels off a slice, and then he goes, and we do this, and we do this, and we do this, and then we eat it, and it's good. And he just eats it. He eats the museum cheese. He ate it, and he was talking with his mouth full. He's eating cheese from the. It was museum cheese.
Well, that's
he
that's
ate
gross.
It. I mean, it could have been like the cheese that George Washington brought to Holland. He didn't know anyone there or what was going on. He just kept.
He's not handling it with. He doesn't have. This is a dumb question. No gloves, right?
No.
No.
Cigarette, nicotine, fingers, just
gross.
Cheese. He's in the fucking. There's mannequins next to him. That's the environment he's in. He's on a stage behind a rope designed to keep normal people like cab drivers from going up and using what is essentially a fake kitchen to go, oh, let's make some cheese. No, we put a rope so you don't. There's a mannequin pretending to make cheese in 1820. That's what this is for. It's for looking. He's bumping into shit, and he's fucking. He's got one of those caps on. He just looks like Benny Hill.
Did he seem like he knew what he was talking
about?
No. Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
I should have known.
Like, he knows that cheese is old milk.
That's it.
He knew everything I know about cheese, and he had an accent. And then he was just eating shit. And then we were walking around, we just felt like the worst, like, American shitty third act of fucking Wall-E people, you know? Like, we just felt like we were these big, fat, boneless Americans that had, like, co-opted some guy, and he was, like, explaining to them, money, 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 cheese, cheese, cheese. Now my son get his teeth fixed. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, hegemony.
I mean, that sounds like a better tour than you'd ever get from an official cheese museum tour. Well, I feel like you lucked out.
I wouldn't have gone to a cheese museum, but I often, every once in a while, can look over at my fiance and go, do you remember when the cheese museum? Yes, I do. And that's kind of fun. That's good.
Yeah.
That's what traveling's really about. In the moment, it felt very awkward.
Did he offer you any of the cheese?
No.
What?
No,
that's the weirdest part.
That is the
question.
Weirdest part. He ate it in front of everyone. People were taking pictures of him. They thought he was like some kind of performer, like an improviser,
like a cheese mascot. Like, I'm a representative. I don't know anything, but I'm enthusiastic, and that's enough.
Or that he was part. That he worked there. They thought what they should have thought. Like because the. I don't know how long you could do that before someone tases you.
But museum staff just gave up. They were like, we don't want to touch
they
this.
They didn't, because he was just insistent. They said they did all a human should have to do, which is please, clearly, I don't speak their language, but they were clearly saying, please stop.
Yeah.
Please stop running around our private property, like banging into things, knocking over mannequins, and stealing cheese. Please stop doing that.
They don't give up that easily at the Louvre. I know that much.
Yeah.
I go, all right, he's fucking with the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. So you should go there. I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. It's weird. Windmills are weird. You know what those things do on the inside? When you see a picture of a windmill, you're like, why do they make those? It's just like big pinwheels. You know, when you're a kid, you're like, why do they? Well, that's a lot of work to put into. You know, the things on the inside, most of them saw lumber. You know what they do with it? They make more windmills. The windmills are like a virus. They take over the T cells, and then they just like.
If
we hadn't stopped these people in their tracks, our world would be covered with windmills for no reason. They wouldn't be generating electricity. They would just
be generating
more
windmills.
We would make first contact, and the flying saucer would bump off of the Earth because there would be these fucking blades spinning everywhere. You know, they would have eventually started making them out of plastic, and they would have been toxic. It's very interesting, though. They make windmills over there. Like there's people that make them just like they used to. Like we're only going to use the equipment they used to use. It just seems like so. God, you got to really be into something. Like I was like, why that? Like we're just going to use. We think Civil War reenactors are weird. These windmill reenactors. They're like, we're going to make a windmill. We're not going to use any hammers. We're not going to use anything made of metal.
Is there new cutting edge windmill technology?
Yeah, I'm sure.
There definitely is.
Yeah.
Well, do you mean like the things that generate wind power, like electricity?
They don't just saw wood anymore. Yeah.
What do they do now?
They generate electricity.
I don't know if you could you call those windmills though?
I call them windmills. Would.
Yeah.
I call
They're
them
mills. Wind.
I get like being into some OG windmill shit. It's like, you know, guitar dads who like will only use tube amps. You know, like. Who have like a man cave full of like old tube amps and they got to get them replaced at like one guitar shop in Calabasas and they know the guy behind the counter. Like, I'm sure that's how like vintage windmill heads are.
When I was programming, like I used the VI editor and I didn't want to use my mouse. I used the keys, you know, like it's a 35-year-old like editor. I want to design my own web page, editing with text on an SSH connection or whatever. I guess I was into the purity of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when I went to film school, they make you edit film on a Steenbeck, like an old school like spinning plates. Yeah.
With your little
thing.
White gloves and you're like splicing.
Yep. And your little like pencil to mark where an edit was.
And they're like, okay, so now you know how that works. Here's Final Cut.
Yeah. Exactly. It was such a colossal waste of time, and my only takeaway from it is like that's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, you're like, that's why this mouse clicker is shaped like that. That's why they use that icon.
Yep.
Because it's based on some guy with a white glove.
Just, yeah, sitting there. And the other thing I learned is like don't set an entire opened but full orange juice on one of the spinning plates that the film goes on.
Right.
That was like 4 hours of my life. But the film got done. The montage of my friend dancing on the street set to an RJD2 beat got done, and I got an A, and then I moved to Los Angeles. So, I mean...
Did it get an A because in between you would just flash the words capitalism or something?
Yeah. There was a lot of deep meaning.
Hey, Dave.
Mm-hmm?
Was it pulp or pulp-free? Yeah, I found my niche.
You did it! He did it!
Yeah.
Come on!
What a great night for Comptroller Ryan Ridley. Wow. This guy's great.
He
cares about the minutia of things you ingest. That's his angle.
Ridley source.
You know, Jeff wears suits. You ask questions about eating.
A round of applause. Crunchy peanut butter.
I heard somebody booing.
All right. The creamy peanut butter.
Wow.
Even. That's a 50-50 split.
But the creamy people were yelling and going, woo!
Well, the creamy seem forced. Like, they're like, we really got to stand up for creamy.
Well, how many people are ambi peanut butter? How many people can do crunchy or creamy? Oh, really? Not that many. Yeah.
Well, why would you even bother with creamy is what I want to know.
Because sometimes it's good. I don't know. I like both. I wouldn't want either to be outlawed.
This is the gentlest conversation that's ever happened on this stage.
We're going to be 85 years old, and we can still have the same conversation. That's what's nice about it. Like, oh, those ladies' skirts keep getting shorter. But peanut butter...
This is like the first 20 minutes of those Kirk Cameron Christian movies. Like, hey, man.
Hey, if you want to know how to get the most peanut butter in the world, I'm going to tell you. It's about the power.
power of positivity.
Jesus Christ. Pray. I could pray for it. Pray.
This is what drives me nuts about Christianity. Not Christianity, the actual mythology, like which I think is, I enjoy. The story of a guy who got killed on purpose. This is awesome. That's fucking amazing. It is truly like one of the top three greatest stories ever told. I'm going to go Iron Giant and Monster House for the other two.
You're saying you have a problem with the people who tell the story and how they tell it.
I have a problem with something that that by proper definitions shouldn't even be called Christianity, which is this, like, you know, this kind of weird capitalist. We're wearing suits and we're talking about Jesus, and we even tell people, you don't even have to read the Bible. You know what's great about Christianity? He's knocking at your door. All you got to do is accept him as your personal Christ and Savior, the blood of the blood flood. And... And that's it. And just keep coming back. And let's just hang out. Let's just be Christian. It's like this frantic like thing that has absolutely no love for the actual mythology anymore. So it's clearly like totally separated from it. Especially the fact that you don't don't get me started on the. I mean, literally nobody clapped. This is an audience of like, I think this is mahogany dense atheist like blog here. I don't know how that happened. I guess I'll take that as a compliment, like I'm very smart or something, so I just attract atheists. But so I don't think I would be preaching to the non-choir by ranting about this. But I just I think the thing that makes most people atheists and proud of it and evangelical about it is that it's a modern American phenomenon that happens to be called Christianity, which has absolutely nothing to do with the ethos, the pathos, or the porthos. I demand a religion hit all three musketeers. Before I accept it. Even the jolly drunk one.
Who the fuck is that fourth musketeer?
He's just a guy.
Who is that guy?
Well, he's the guy. He's our road in.
Why didn't he get lumped in?
Because he's like there to like, he's like the kid in Treasure Island. He's like, boy, those three musketeers.
All right. I've never read it, seen the movies. I just know there's a fourth guy. And I'm like, why isn't it called the Four Musketeers? But okay, I get it.
I bet at the end they say, from now on,
here's your sword.
Hey, D'Artagnan, give me can you get me one of those swords? Yeah, sure, Urthos. And he brings it back and he's like, and he hands it to Urthos, and Urthos is like, no, that one's yours. And then they're like, all for one and one plus one for all. And then as the crane shot goes away, you just hear an ADR line from D'Artagnan going, what about my musket? Because am I crazy or should we have muskets? Why are we famous for sword fighting? This is insane what we do. Why are we putting so much energy into swords? They invented the gun for us. Let's shoot some of them.
I feel like D'Artagnan's inclusion is probably conditional. Like, even if at the end he gets his own sword, he probably still has to drive, like, Turtle from Entourage.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you can hang out, Turtle. Like, you can have, like, the fourth hottest girl, but you gotta drive the Escalade.
He has to hang up the flyers and book the rooms.
Hey guys, we're having a duel. It's gonna be
when
dope.
The musketeers come into town, he goes into the hotel while they stay in the van. Hey. He comes back out with other keys. Okay,
I'm gonna be spinning. It's gonna be dope. It's gonna be fun.
Well, what do you think, Spencer? You think these guys could play some of this D&D stuff? Or?
I don't know, Dan. I don't think they got what it takes.
Hey, what?
Maybe it's a little early. Should we meet one out of town friend before we? And they who drove far? Who is here from a far away?
Orange County,
Scotland. I heard Orange County. you, Australia. We did Australia last week. Not that that's how it works. I know there's millions of people there, but we were out of kangaroo jokes. What was the what'd you say?
Boston.
Boston. That's nice. I like it in Boston. It's like Milwaukee. It's like the Milwaukee of the East Coast.
Who's from the most dangerous place?
Boston.
Australia. Boston. Yeah.
They're peopled with criminals.
Yeah.
Scott, Scotland person, are you willing to come up and share your persona with us? No. Okay.
Okay.
That persona's off to a good start.
Yeah, she's very positive. We don't pick on anybody here. Hello. You look like a Scottish movie Scottish person. Like she's wearing boots and tights and like a t-shirt that says Trey Cool on it. Although that's French. No, not at all. No, I'm applauding your Scottishness.
Thank you.
It's like indie movie Scottish. Like it's like a movie that's really good, but there's subtitles because they're so Scottish. So what's your name?
Paula.
Paula. What part of Scotland?
Just outside Glasgow.
Oh, okay. Like, I know where that is. But
it's the opposite side where you were for your...
Where we were for Hogmanay?
Yeah.
Edinburgh, which is spelled Edinburgh, but then it's a trap. It's a trap. It seems like a nice Jewish town, Edinburgh. Just went there to get some relaxation. Everyone's carrying torches. It's fucking crazy. Do you ever do Hogmanay in Edinburgh?
I've done it in Glasgow, and then it's usually just house parties, but no.
Oh, okay.
I don't really like Edinburgh.
We did the whole torch procession when we were there. It was crazy.
It seems kind of dangerous having that many people in torches.
I know, but when you
alcohol.
Do something that dangerous with a group
flammable.
Of people.
Scottish flames, alcohol.
I guess we've already talked about it on the show, but it was really uplifting because it really made you feel like, oh, America's like wearing this big diaper. Like we are obsessed with tits and violence and bad words and like all these things. Like America's got a lot of great things about it. Fluoride in the water, most cities. I don't know. We're great. We golden age of television.
You should start.
Mostly
something.
Our responsibility.
You should start something. Get them out on the streets.
Get people carrying torches out in the streets. Well, as we've spoken, there's another reason we don't do it here. It has an unfortunate feel to it for us. It doesn't represent as passionate. Like it's more of a cowardly. Like I got a flaming stick. Get away, black guy. Stop taking our gerbs. But it was like we did this big parade. And we're all carrying these torches, and it was like there were kids, and everyone was like, there's fucking like
it's a you big know thing.
You
it's
buy the torches at like a Walmart, whatever the equivalent of a Walmart is.
Asda.
like and it's like they sell them because it's everyone's gonna do this thing, and it's kind of cool because it's like. The opposite of disempowering a population. Like, you know, nobody does anything bad with the torches, but you're being allowed to carry fire, which is dangerous. And like, and everyone's walking and there's like embers falling on your hair and your clothes. And there's like a little bit of like singeing and fire happening, but everyone's fine. Everyone turns out fine. And then you go watch this wicker thing start
See,
on
I've
fire.
I've never done it. So you're saying to me.
And they're playing. The only problem is they're playing like, They're playing music the whole way. They have speakers set up the whole like many mile like march, and they're playing like Scottish like rock bands the stuff like and after a while you've heard the same ones like five times in a
there's
row.
Not
like,
many.
There's only so many like breakout Scottish like fucking hey. They're like, oh, these guys again, huh? So anyways, Glasgow. All right. I think we were near there. You referenced our trip there. Are you connected to us somehow, or because I know Jeff put people on the guest list for tonight, but are you just heard the podcast and heard that we went to Scotland?
I've been twice before.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly got kicked out twice because I was here with a friend and we were kind of drunk.
Oh, is that you?
Yeah.
True. Is she here tonight?
No.
Okay. No, was that the problem? Was it you had to like restructure your friendship?
I'm doing okay so far.
Yeah, no, you're great. You're very, very gentle and well mannered. You were fine that night too. Who cares? Drunk people from Scotland yelling things out. It's probably the best thing that happened to the show. So what are you on vacation?
I was in Salt Lake City for Comic Con.
They have a Comic-Con in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, it's huge.
Wow.
It's the second year, and it was pretty crazy.
So. Wow. I like that. I was in Salt Lake. They're very nice people. Mm-hmm. I think it's, again, like, we did the tour there, and it's like, the Mormon thing is so strong there. Maybe that's why. It's like the hipster crowd there is very hip. Because they're, like, breaking away from.
It was mainly people from Salt Lake there. I don't think there was many out-of-towners. Well, right. I don't know. I didn't speak to many.
Yeah,
people.
I mean, I was like we had a packed house and we did a show there, and everybody was really thoughtful and cool and fun and passionate. And it's probably a tough city to be anything fringy in, I would imagine. Maybe that's a stereotype that's outgrown. I don't know.
We As all have the Mormons internet now. Aren't the biggest fringe of them all.
Right.
Don't turn on your guest comptroller yet. He's going to come back. He's going to ask you about bread and butter versus dill pickles at the end. I know it. And you're going to wish that you hadn't. I got you, buddy.
I thought they'd like that.
I liked it.
Also, if you're Mormon and you're listening, I have no, I have absolutely no judgment.
I do. I'm going to double down.
Smart. That's smart.
What the fuck is that shit?
So you've had Jews,
yeah.
Christians, and they were on Mormons?
When we were in Salt Lake City, I had a Mormon come up and explain some of the things, like, okay, let's talk about this magic underwear. Let's talk about the stuff. Because she was a very sweet, like, she was a Harmontown fan. In other words, she was in this town where she was probably surrounded by people who are like, I'm fucking Mormons. I don't know, though. I don't really know what's going on there. But and how people feel about it. I'm sure they're all 25 and they fucking don't care anymore. And I'm like 41 and going, oh, Mormonism. But she came up and talked about it. I mean, what the fuck? Religion, it's says on the bottle, this isn't supposed to make sense. If you buy a religion, like, and then you open the bottle and you're like, this isn't logical, like, you're an idiot. Like, it's like buying a pair of pants and then trying to drink out of them. And you're like, this sucks. I want my money back. It's like, motherfucker, it goes on your legs. Your legs, in this case, being the part of your brain that doesn't understand shit and doesn't and is frustrated and wonders what your relationship with an impersonal cosmos is and is afraid you're going to die and like is going insane because of the truly schizophrenic result of being the world's first and possibly last sentient mammal, except dolphins, who don't need a religion because they don't have hands. So they don't have weapons, so they don't have war, so they don't need religion. They just see a shark and they're like, fuck sharks. Like dolphins go crazy at sharks. Did you know that? They fucking hate sharks. Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
It is fucking cool because dolphins are us in the ocean. They represent us. They are Ryan and Dave. You might say the dolphins are the Israelis in the Middle East that is the ocean.
Oh, now
that
I'm listening.
That doesn't make it sound good.
No. Hold on.
They're like building apartments on all
these coral reefs.
And...
Now suddenly I'm sympathizing for the sharks.
I know, and I accidentally just called Muslims sharks, which is really weird. And then thought it was cool to get that is not what I meant. Sorry about that.
Do they know that sharks are the bad guys?
That's what it is. I mean, think about it. Dolphins are mammals that breathe oxygen and like they have language and shit. Like they're a new. They're like us. What? What'd you say?
They're assholes. Dolphins are assholes.
They're assholes. Okay, well, you're coming up in 1 second, sir.
I think he already heard this.
A guy with an accent I can't place just blurted out, they're assholes.
Well,
dolphins
really
are assholes.
Somehow.
Wait, well, what about sharks?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right, sir.
No opinion on sharks,
please come up,
but
please
dolphins are assholes?
No, you stay, Paula. Okay. It's Paula, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you sit there, sir. What's your name?
Andy.
Okay, so explain. Dolphins are assholes.
Male dolphins are assholes.
Male dolphins.
Yeah, they separate the women from the pack and then don't let them back into the pod until they've had sex with them.
Oh, okay. Well, so when you dig into dolphin like gender hierarchy is okay.
That's
interesting. Like, yeah, we're looking at it from very far away. They're so smart, and they're like, yeah, we're smart enough to hate bitches.
Well, hold on.
They don't get to dolphin vote.
I think. Well,
Wait, Dave, you were going to say something about...
I was just going to say hashtag yes all dolphins.
So Andy, is that a dolphin fact you picked up just as a casual dolphin fan, or are you like I want you to say you're an oceanographer who really loved dolphins and then they fucking let you down. Like you spent 8 years learning to communicate with them to the point where you could hear their opinions about women, and you're like, fuck, I learned to squeak for this. This guy's rapey. Sure, he can put a ball in the circular hole, but he fucking hates women.
It was one of those articles, you know, 20 things about awful things you know about, you don't know about animals. I mean, don't get started on Office.
So it was all different animals, like koala bears believe in separate but equal. They have specially labeled eucalyptus trees.
No, man, they're just stoned all the time.
Kittens like euthanasia.
Kittens. What's the shit you didn't know about kittens? They're really conservative. They believe that milk should trickle down from their mother's nipples.
They hate abortion.
Andy, I mean, is it okay if you just make a cameo and then we're not quite done with Paula? I mean, is there anything else to say about dolphins? Did you know anything else about them?
No.
Okay. All right, Andy, everybody, dolphin expert Andy.
I mean, maybe this is just deja vu, but I could swear that earlier on an earlier episode, a guy with a foreign accent said that dolphins were assholes and then came up and defended his remarks. Like, on a different episode, though.
And so, a different guy?
Yeah, I'd assume. I mean, I hope so. Because he played it off like he'd never done it before this time.
It would be amazing if we were living in his Edge of Tomorrow.
I probably am just... Yeah.
We're like, fuck, I could swear. And he's like, no, I've told you this 900 times. Now I have to go get shot. If I could just get you to understand dolphins are assholes by 9:27, I could then roll under the Jeep's tires.
At 9:35, just dolphins burst in from the ceiling.
So, Paula, were you born in Glasgow?
Yes.
Do you know what the Glasgow grin is?
I should hope so.
The Glasgow grin?
Yeah.
I guess not.
That's, I guess in America, we know. Maybe it's like a thing, like it's like a Chinese fire drill. It's like actually offensive to people from Glasgow. And we're like, yeah, it's a Glasgow grin. Is it? That's like a...
Oh, they call that, some places call it a Chelsea grin.
A Chelsea grin?
Yeah.
Depends where you live. If you're working in real estate in Glasgow, you call it a Chelsea grin.
Yeah.
All right. Is it the Sons of Anarchy guy, that thing?
Yeah, the Sons of Anarchy guy, yes.
What is it? It's... Definitely bad, right? It's not. It's an ironic name.
Physical,
right?
Mutilation.
Yeah.
But is it done to you or do you do it yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
It's physical mutilation.
Everybody says
you can do it
cheer
to
up.
Yourself.
Well, fuck them. How about now?
Yeah. The Sons of Anarchy guy. Yeah. He's from Glasgow, right?
Is this like Why So Serious?
The guy that ripped a cat.
Is this like,
in
do
half?
You want to know how I got these scars?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I don't know Sons of Anarchy, but I've seen The Dark Knight. I forgot the title. Do you guys think it's cool that I know the name of the second Batman movie? I can't troll for applause anymore. I already wasted it on that one. Sorry.
Hey, what do you think what kind of peanut butter do you think The Dark Knight prefers?
Crunchy. You guys can't keep eating peanut butter like me.
What makes you so special?
I'm not using portable smokers.
I couldn't think of it. Everybody said that hockey pants thing, and it just everyone went, ugh, alarmed.
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
All right. Paula, are you? Would you be willing to stay up here and play my fiance's character in Dungeons and Dragons? Do you think you can handle it? I mean, you know, there's nothing to handle. It's like it doesn't matter how good you are at it. It's easy.
I've never played it, but I'll give it a bash.
Have you heard us play it on the podcast ever?
Once.
Okay. Yeah. It's like here. What happens is those guys. I hope those women are all peeing and not like doing a walkout. Like that. Like they're gonna go kill some dolphins. I heard they're fucking dolphins. Assholes. also, why did I say I hope they're peeing? That's weird to say. What is this, Hustler magazine? Remember when Hustler turned into being about peeing, like women peeing all the
no.
time?
No.
Like,
when was that?
Like Hustler, like if you open a Hustler, like it's like there's a lot of like, it's like somebody started complaining at some point when there weren't women peeing, and so there's just like they make sure that there's always a woman peeing now.
Do you think there was like an executive decision, like a meeting was called to be like, guys, now starting next month at least once a month?
Yeah, there was obviously like I don't know, like I learned about naked women from pages of Hustler magazine that floated across the railroad tracks into the Crawdad Creek where we would hunt crawdad. I sound like Mark Twain.
That is the.
But there was like there was no internet, and there was just like mud caked pages from this printing plant that apparently printed Hustlers across the railroad tracks, and that's where the other 9-year olds and I would go like, that's a booby, that's what, and then we would read the stuff like, hey, you can read better, would your pussy like my dick in it? This is great. What does she say? What does she say? The next page is missing. Laying home awake at night. I hope her pussy liked his dick in it. And she was a waitress. He was a truck driver. And they just started to. It was a pictorial story, but the text was what was important.
That is so much folksier than how this generation like sees pornography.
Yeah, and I don't know what's but it's gross. I mean, it's like I'm looking at my first female figure, and it's like.
Caked in mud.
It's a pretty fundamentally misogynistic periodic literature, the pages of which are like smeared with mud, you know, the stench of crawdad and algae. It's kind of like I'm learning. I mean, either that's like the healthiest thing in the world, like Yoda's in a tree stump going, yes, yes. The vagina is a terrifying place. Go inside and I go in there and I fight something and then my face is on the clitoris or I come out and I go like I can't talk about it. I'm gonna go to Hollywood. But the internet, yeah, it's like I talk to moms now and they're like, my 8-year old kid. What's that?
About the Hustlers?
No. About the new Hustler, which is even YouTube. Even if you were to have like some kind of nanny blocker software, which is a joke, like you can't control your kid. Even YouTube is just like, I mean, nobody knows better than me. It is filled with perfectly sexual material. Like what do you like so like your 8-year old kid will just be like, you know, sitting with his 8-year old friend. What did we do when we were 8-year old boys? We would make these jokes about sex. You know, we would talk about sex with each other. We were all way off the mark. We were very curious about it, and we were just fascinated with it. And if you had a laptop back then and you could just type something in, and if you could be the kid that brought the other kids to some piece of information about it, you were a hero. So there's a capitalistic like competition there. There's no way to control it. I'm really fascinated to talk to moms these days who are
these moms you're talking to?
Well, like I'm 41. My contemporaries have children. Like they're, you know, funny women who do storytelling shows, who have kids that are like they catch like watching shit that's fucked up. And them hearing them talk about it is very interesting. If only I could remember that one lady's name that I'm characterizing as all these women. but the dolphin in me says, who cares what her name is?
Yeah.
You know? Let her have the kid and like see if she earns the right to swim, and what do they eat? Shrimp? I don't know. All right. They hate sharks. They hate sharks. They see a shark and they fucking like ram it with their noses until the shark is good and dead. They don't. It's not about anything other than like hatred. And if a person's drowning, Andy, if a person's drowning, sexist or not, and I don't know if they don't do it for women, but they tend to like save drowning humans. They see us thrashing around and they're kind of like, what are you doing, dipshit? Also maybe seals do that possibly too. That sounded like I just made that up, which I kind of did. I'm basing that off of the documentary The Bridge, which is about all the people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Don't woo them.
The saddest documentary.
So the director is here? Oh, we captured a lot of suicides on camera. This one's for the crew. John Perignon. In that movie, there's one kid who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, and most of the people are not in the documentary talking about their experience jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, but he is because he survived. He broke his whole body hitting the water, and by the way,
he found God at the end of it.
That was kind of a yeah. He jumped and he broke his legs and his back and all this shit in the water, and then he was like. He's like, oh my God, I failed to kill myself. I'm now drowning. And this thing underneath him kept bumping him and keeping his head above water. And he believes it was a seal, or he described it to someone, and they said it was a seal. And then he goes, and if that's not proof of Jesus, I don't know what it is. what a wasted opportunity to become a really passionate marine biologist. I guess he took the easier path. The human eye is too complicated. Fuck it. Intelligent design. Maybe become an optician. Did I say that word right? Okay, all right. So, dolphins are sexist. Jews are great. Christians are great. They just waste too much time having lock-ins. And
dolphins are Jews.
Dolphins are Jews.
Yeah.
Dolphins are building delis underwater.
Ooh, boy.
We landed on it at some
point. If dolphins are Jews.
Did you not say Muslims?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I did not mean to say
that
Muslims are sharks.
I did not want to say that.
It sure was.
Hey, I have one last question. I mean, like, literally. You know how giant squids and killer whales are fighting all the time?
No.
Like on.
Look it up.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah, they know what I'm talking about.
You're talking about.
I mean, we all get it. They fight all the time.
They fight all the time on the sci-fi channel.
No one's ever seen it, but there's pictures of it.
Mega squid.
Is Debbie Gibson in the frame?
Who are the good guy? Who's the good guy and who's the bad guy in that?
Between a
giant squid.
Between a mammal and a fucking ridiculous fish monster?
I don't think a shark is a mammal.
They're killer whales.
They're mammals,
oh,
man.
Oh, killer whales.
So you automatically just...
Sperm whales.
They look like a killer whale, the pictures I've seen.
You're always going to be on a mammal's side.
You always have to be? Why?
Yes. In any
fight.
In a fight. Okay, let me explain this.
That's
as
racist.
If it needs to be explained. It's the opposite of racist. It's human. If a human is fighting a chimp,
uh-huh.
Side with the human.
Wait.
If two chimps are fighting, I don't know. I'll get back to you. Side with the bonobo. If a gorilla and a chimp are fighting, side with the chimp. If a squid and a whale are fighting, side with the whale. You can side with your
chimps,
branch of evolution.
Chimps bite your balls off. Gorillas do sign language and pet kittens.
But they're fighting.
What the fuck?
One gorilla does sign language and pets kittens.
I'm sure if they bothered to teach others, they'd catch on.
What about this, if a human's fighting a chimp, side with the human thing? I feel like that's misguided in a lot of circumstances.
What do you mean?
I mean, there's a lot of, like, there's a, like a zookeeper-looking human, and he's got a pitchfork, and he's fighting with the chimp, and you gotta side with the chimp sometimes, you know? They're being abused, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. He's
I mean,
right.
If it was, like, if they were dropped in an arena, sure. I mean, all the humans.
Yeah.
If this was Battle World...
guess that's what I was picturing. Is that this situation was happening more organically. Like maybe in the world's strangest bar. Just like, you don't know. Like they were playing darts for a while and then they erupted into, you know, the chip's got a broken bottle and the guy's like saying, I've called a cab and Mike, you always do this. Like, separate them, but ultimately, like we gotta be for humans, right?
Saying we gotta be to the closest to our genetic.
Yeah, and then once whatever. You have your shit together as a species, then you go, okay, now we'll start dipping and dapping and don't know what's happening. Among all these other things. Now, if you're in PETA and stuff, you're listening, you're going, you're fucking insane. You wouldn't say retarded, probably. Because if you're in PETA, you're probably more progressive and your vocabulary is probably not as crass. And my sister's retarded, so fuck you. But I just mean, like, we gotta... Here's what I'm saying. There's homeless people. Fuck giraffes. That's all I'm saying. Until there's no homeless people, fuck giraffes. I don't care how long their necks get. They're just horses with long necks. I'm not saying Spencer's right. If you walk into a bar and there's a guy whipping a giraffe, like maybe tell your friend with the whip to, like, okay, you've had too many. He's not worth it. That's what I'd say. He's not worth it, Tony. He's just a giraffe.
Horse.
I don't even know how he got in here. He must have been
the
lowered in.
Bar. This bar has the highest ceiling I've ever been in.
All right. Okay. So we should play. I got my character sheets. So here's how it works, Paula. You get these sheets. They have scribbles all over them. We're drunk. We look at them. We don't know what we're doing. If you see something on there that's like, it says I have shoes, you can say, yeah. Spencer will generally like tell you, like, if you want to do something now, you can do something. Sometimes that he forgets, but here, pass those. Your dignity, Sarsgaard, you are a paladin. You're for truth and justice, and...
You'll probably want to take the top two, Dave, and pass the next to Ryan.
I think I messed up the order when the paper was.
They look okay to me. Just left hand to Ryan.
Okay, buddy.
It's like Twister.
Thanks, Spencer.
Yeah. Master.
What?
I'm a master.
I'll call you master.
Please do.
I touched the ice. I touched all the ice. I don't have time to fuck around. I'm touching all the ice.
Is that bad to touch the ice?
Oh, yeah. It's unhygienic. Yeah.
I mean, the alcohol will take care of that probably, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's scientifically accurate. Sounds good, though. I don't think I'm going to get music, probably, but I should...
You got
music. Oh, yes. Shit. Well, I mean, whatever.
I touched all the ice.
You took all the ice. I don't know if these guys are ready.
Oh, we could use some
They're
ice.
Dancing
yeah.
around.
If I've learned anything, it's edit this part out. Let us get our drinks.
That's what I was thinking. So, do you guys see that sports thing? Two points, right? 2 points.
I didn't think they were going to get those points, but then, you know.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Right there.
Uh-huh.
Plain as day.
Oh, man.
This is like a sports corner. I'm stealing your bit, Harmon.
Steal it.
This is the least enthusiastic sports corner.
Hit it.
All right. So are we good then? I mean,
yeah.
Yep.
Are we all situated? Let me turn on my iPad. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me, you guys. I'm sorry.
Well, you're high or sick.
I'm just sick. I always cool off by 9:37. Last time on Harmontown. Our heroes had reunited outside after leaving Father Tinder to inform Mrs. Darmvon of her husband's untimely demise. The gang was approached by Spizwad the Gnome, and the Gnome, oh yes, Bizbulb, and the Gnome offered them a place to stay up in his tower. And the group decided they needed to take... There, the group decided that they needed to break into Father Tinder's house. Jesus Christ. To look for clues and steal his stuff. Spizzbulb gave them a bundle of cloth and they departed. While infiltrating the house, Quark heard a noise and rushed upstairs to see a small ninja attacking Father Tinder before escaping. After tripping and falling on his blade, trying to apprehend the assailant, Quark was pissed and sexually assaulted the beaten, bloody old priest while Sharpie gave chase, pursuing the assassin. Dignity Sarsgaard heard the commotion and discovered Quark's sodomy, removing the raging barbarian and locking him in a closet. Sharpie tracked the ninja to Darmvon's house, which was ruined by magic. Inside, he cornered the offender, who revealed himself to be Spizzbulb, the friendly gnome from before!
Unbelievable.
Sharpie attacked, but Spizzbulb seemed to avoid all harm with a magical barrier. Sharpie was outmatched. As Dignity ran off to aid our heroes, Quark stewed, swearing revenge on the paladin who stopped him. But could our heroes pull it together to fight off a super-powered Spizzbulb, or would they all perish alone? Like me. Find out.
Like
on
you?
Harmontown.
What? Oh my god. What the hell was that?
It just didn't.
Some Hunter S. Thompson introduction.
It sounded like it went with the music.
Slipped a little tragedy in there. Jesus. Now I don't know if we can play. I'm just going to take you somewhere quiet.
I'll just role play up some happiness.
So I saw our friend Spizzbulb. Like I was trying to chase him, but then I came across frozen people or something. Or
yeah, they were frozen in this like hunk of force magic.
Are we all together again? The characters, the players.
You guys are racing. You're racing to reunite. So that's happening. You guys, you all reunite. You're in the top floor of a two-story house. You're in this guy, or no, you're in the bottom floor. Sorry, of a two-story house. There's this guy, he's a little gnome wearing ninja gear going, and he's just menacing. And he's facing down Sharpie, and he looks like he's got the upper hand. Sharpie's running towards you guys as you enter this room. You don't know what's going on.
That's, so I had that, so but I...
You fill them in as they're seeing what's happening.
It was Spizzbulb. Spizzbulb fucking killed Tinder. Are you all filled in now? the guy we were going to investigate because he was too into juice.
Remember?
There's a guy who's like the mayor of the town who is like really into juice, and we talked to him a lot about juice, and then we were suspicious of him, so we did a stealth operation at his house to see if we could find out more about him, but we found him getting killed, and he wasn't dead though,
he's still alive.
Is he here?
He was getting attacked.
Wait,
no,
he's back at his place.
Yeah, he's back at his place.
All right, back to Father Tinder's.
You're running away.
Well, is Spizzbulb still here?
Yeah.
All right, I want to have like a Spizzbulb, why?
Because I'm fucked up. You never trust a gnome. Gnomes are all evil.
I deny it, but the way Jeff acted last week. That's racist.
No.
Oh. Wait, I'm a gnome?
Yeah, can you're I? A gnome. Yeah,
you're a gnome.
Fuck that.
Yeah, keep going.
I'm good.
Are gnomes like the dolphins or the sharks of this game? Someone said sharks.
Are all gnomes like ninjas?
No.
No?
Some are. Like humans. You know? Yeah. But he's like, you guys are gonna die!
Why?
He starts casting magics.
God damn it. I feel a deja vu here. Like, didn't I teleport to behind him?
Yeah. You tried to fear him. He didn't get feared. Okay. Then you started running away.
I'm going
to
teleport.
Then your friends showed up.
Can I teleport to behind him again?
No, you ran out of teleport juice.
All right, well, I want to shock and grasp him before he manages to cast whatever he's casting.
All right, well, that doesn't happen. He manages to cast whatever he's casting.
Fuck.
So he waves his arms magically, and you see four shining pillars of force energy looking kind of like great columns, almost as large and as heavy as stone pillars, and they launch towards you kind of slowly. They're easy to dodge, but let's see if you do... You do.
I dodged?
Yeah, the slow-moving pillars are easy to dodge, and they smash into the walls behind you, but all of you manage to nimbly dodge out of the way. He's like, fuck!
Hey, nice pillars, dick.
I'll respond on my turn.
Here's some alternate names for those things. Missers. Ineffectual glowing turds. Dodge practicers.
He writes that one down.
Now witness the power of this fully armed and operational shocking grasp.
You lunge towards him shockingly, and your hands are stopped by an irresistible, invisible wave of force energy. It's like some sort of shield. Your hands burn as electricity dissipates across this shield.
Ow!
As Spizbulb laughs, he's like, you can't touch me. A white barrier kind of appears in front of him and shivers out of existence.
Fuck this guy.
What's this guy's problem? What's going on here?
I'm a gnome. We're evil.
I'm a gnome.
He's a self-loathing gnome.
You should relate to him as a gnome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
As a gnome, get on his level.
Yeah. What's up, man?
He's
What's your problem?
I don't know what you're talking about. You're gonna die,
hey, man.
Once it's my turn.
Can I heal you?
The bad guy?
No.
Did I get wounded?
Yeah, did he get wounded?
By the shocking grasp. No.
I'm okay.
You just
Thank
felt
you.
It not working on the on the shield.
Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, but you're just yelling at this guy apparently, Ryan, and he's not having it. He's like, I don't know.
Am
gnomes.
I speaking to him in gnome language?
I don't know. What are
that
you
might
trying?
Make a difference.
What are you trying to do? It's your character.
I'm just trying to connect with this guy, man. Find out where he's coming from.
So, okay.
This
Keep
is what
more
happens
specific.
When Jews play D&D. They're too heady. I want to relate to him on his level.
I just want to know what's going on. I mean, why is he attacking us?
Listen, we've spent more time doing worse. This might not be a bad option. I mean, this guy's
Well,
like,
what do you want to say?
Where are you coming from? What did we do to you?
You didn't do anything. I'm just a terrible person.
Nobody's just a terrible person.
Gnomes are. All of them.
Not me.
You're probably wrong.
Ooh, he wants you to look within.
You just feel insulted because I, Stefan the Gnome, had you all tricked.
So your name's Stefan, not Stubnorts?
No, Stubnorts. Stubnorts the Gnome.
Guys, this
Stefan,
guy's,
come on.
You're possessed by someone. You're not even a gnome. Say something about gnomes that only gnomes would gnome.
They love light exercise.
They.
Bullshit.
He said they. That means he's not a gnome.
Oh,
he's not
fuck.
A gnome.
I'd say let's get him, but he's really powerful. He keeps kicking our asses. So. You're not a gnome. Knock it off. The jig's up.
Oh, it's not up.
It is up. Jig is up.
He's still trying to act like you guys haven't purged his deceptions.
Well, we can act like that all he wants.
We've purged your deceptions.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree.
Motherfucker, your deceptions are out the door, man.
Yeah, no.
We purged them.
No. No.
What if I say to him, come on.
Is that your whole
what
turn?
What if I rub his shoulders?
That's it. You put all your energy for your whole combat turn into that move, and then yeah, and then roll for it. Like
diplomacy.
All right, what's your diplomacy or your charisma if you don't have a diplomacy?
Me?
Yeah, you're the one saying it. Right?
Total. 10?
All right. 10. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, I put all 10 of that into come
you're
on.
You're like Lou Diamond Phillips level charisma. You're no Daniel Craig,
what's
but you're working
scale?
On it. I don't know.
Okay, so what did you say again?
Come on.
He stands there and he just kind of drops his hands and he's like, okay.
Come on!
He put his character sheet down.
That was a critical hit.
That's what happens.
So he drops his hand. He's like, okay. And then he does like one of these where he waves his hands in front of his face, and poof, he magically changes into Father Tinder.
I knew it! I fucking knew it! I fucking knew it, and I was gonna say it.
Yeah, you knew it now.
But
you
if
didn't
I
know
said
it,
you would have changed it.
I would have what?
You would have changed it because you would have been like, "Holy fuck, Harmon's awesome!"
You fuckers! You might have figured out that I'm not a gnome, but I'm still gonna murder your asses,
Father
because
Tinder.
That's what I do,
Father Tinder, in the name of a man who is buried up to his neck by gnolls for the shard of power you have on your titty. I Sharpie butts a lot, and the
us
wrecking crew. So help me God, so help me Jesus Christ, a deity you've never heard of, but who you're gonna meet soon, I am gonna kick your fucking ass.
Okay. I'm not very, it's a nice speech.
And why,
still
pretty bummed. Why were you so into juice?
What's wrong with juice?
Why were you so into it?
I mean, you guys have juice in you.
I never drank it.
I'm not drinking.
I didn't drink it.
You're not drinking. We'll see who drank juice. Activate juice. You guys feel sick, except not Sharpie, because
not me.
You didn't drink it. The rest of you guys feel physically ill as the juice activates. It's a weird sentence. All right, well, the juice activates, but other than a mild upset stomach, you seem completely unaffected. Yeah. It's just
that
delicious.
It happens every day.
All right.
Literally just feels like eating too much Thai food. Like, yeah. That's it.
Just
not
let me,
that bad.
Let me know when it's my turn. I think it's
Paula's turn, right?
Yeah. Paula, just attack this guy. Whatever you.
Am I not meant to heal some of us if we've had?
No,
some,
don't worry about us. That's very kind of you.
Can I not use some diplomacy to sort this guy out?
Nah, I mean, I would say just physically beat his ass. Like, do you have a
spellcraft?
Spellcraft.
That's a skill.
Like, let's see. What do you got under weapons? Like,
I've
here.
I've got swords.
You want? Yeah.
I like to. Yeah, let's slash him up a bit.
Give him a Glasgow
stomach
staple.
Give him a Glasgow smile.
You swing your sword, but it bounces off his weird barrier.
This
and
is
it
dumb.
Flashes
this
white and fizzles away.
Barrier. It's a dumb barrier.
I'm just going to throw an axe at him.
I think it's not your turn anymore.
That thing might bounce off.
I want to put it at Dave's turn, just because he only said a short thing. Or maybe Ridley's turn, because he also only said a short thing.
I made the dude not be a gnome.
I know, it just time-wise, it didn't take much.
He was a gnome, and now he's not one. Is that nothing?
The scale of your deeds was grand, although the time scale is not. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, like, what's up?
Yeah. Well, I think
you're
going to
double down?
How about it'll be Ridley's turn? How about Ridley's
what
turn.
What species is Father Tinder?
He's a human.
No. Okay. Well, I
but he's
know.
Got a force field around him.
Yeah. What can I do? Do I have anything that can get through a force field?
I don't know, man.
Magic?
I don't think you have magic.
What do you mean you don't think? Do I have magic?
Well, I mean, you have spell-like abilities.
What did somebody yell out in back? Oh, what is that? What is that thing that he gave us? Doesn't seem like he'd give us something helpful, but...
This guy gave us something? I'm going
to
use it.
Oh, Spizball gave it to us before, yeah. But yeah, what is this shit that he gave you? You got something wrapped in a black cloth or something.
I'll unwrap it and I'll use it against this guy.
You unwrap the black sackcloth and it looks black like a void. It looks like a hole. You're holding black a hole in your hand.
All right.
It's a hole.
I'm going to throw it at him.
You throw it at him and it hits him like a blanket and it just kind of falls onto the floor like he got hit by a blanket that then fell on the floor.
Somebody push him in. It's a portable hole.
You hear the slow whirrings of machinery coming from inside the hole on the floor.
Well, can I push him in?
Let's try it. You try to push him in, and you do.
Yeah! That feels good. Well, wait a minute. What happened to him when he fell in the hole? I guess he should.
He falls about 4 feet, and you see his feet. They're still sticking out of the hole when he hits bottom, and he pulls himself to his feet.
What do you mean? Like the hole is 4 feet?
Yeah, it's like he's in a wading pool, maybe.
What about the machine noises?
Somebody grab the hole. Grab it and fucking wad it up.
Can I close it up? Yeah.
Yeah.
There was whirring machinery, though, in that.
Yeah, we'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
trying to pull up the hole from the ground, you trip and fall into the hole with Father Tinder.
Oh, shit. Just because you said that?
No, it's because I rolled a one.
Well, I mean,
yeah, because I said it. This whole thing is because I said it. I just say stuff up
he's
here.
He's got a point.
But did you think in your head, if I roll this number, yeah, that's probably how this
it's
works,
rules.
Right?
There's okay. Rules.
What are you, Neo? You're going to, like, decode the fucking reality?
But yeah, in this portable hole, you can see what looks like just a small wicker basket and a slowly inflating balloon.
What?
Is it a helium balloon?
It looks like it. I mean, you can't tell by eyeballing the gas. It seems like something that definitely requires explaining.
So I'm in the hole. This guy's in the hole. A wicker basket and
a balloon.
A balloon, and then machine sounds.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Can I ask what's going on?
To who?
I don't know.
To the camera, like you're a Flintstones
yeah,
animal.
Give like a John Krasinski look to the camera right now. It's like a.
It cuts to a talking head of you later, going, "I didn't know what was going on."
They wanted to be in the hole. I guess I got in the hole. I don't know.
Where's this Fizgig guy? Who is he?
He's in the hole with you. You guys are in the hole together.
Well, what's he doing? Is he in the basket? Is the balloon bouncing on his head?
Technically speaking, a lot
Ryan,
of stuff is
something.
Happening at the same time.
Well, do something.
When I get a move, I fucking fold that hole up like a napkin.
I'm still in it! I get out of the hole! I get out of the hole!
All right, well, it's not your turn, but you try to fold up the hole, but Father Tinder holds the edges of the hole down, and it doesn't get picked up completely.
Fucking headbutt.
It's a real thing.
I can't headbutt him?
Well, I guess you could try, sure.
Headbutt.
That's you headbutt
scotch,
him.
Scotch kiss.
You headbutt him right in the head, and he gets a bloody nose.
Top of the head, hardest part of the body. Brian Dennehy, penitentiary.
You deal 3 damage to him. It's unarmed combat. You're a wizard.
But also he lets go of the edge of the hole because it hurts his nose.
No. No.
This guy's tough.
All right.
He's tough, yeah. He's tough. He leaps out of the hole and he's like, "You guys, you broke through my barrier, but it'll never happen again."
I broke your nose.
You guys broke through my nose, but it'll never happen again. He starts waving his hands around, creating a large blob of white force energy. It looks like creamy, rich semen.
No!
Just like Dad used to make.
What the fuck?
Dad!
But then stopped when the city asked him to.
He hurls it towards you. And it's
like multiple MIGs.
It slowly it rolls towards you through the air, and you try to dodge, but somehow it reaches out with weird pseudopods and grabs you guys, and you don't save successfully, even though this is flat. Don't worry about that. All right, everybody takes 15 damage.
Yeah.
As burning, searing force energy grabs you by the legs and pulls you to the ground.
What pulls us? The semen cloud?
Yeah, a cloud of... It's more of like semen amoeba.
Does it look like that shit in, like, Donnie Darko, where it's like that Capri Sun, Alex Mack stuff that, like, comes out?
Out of
like,
people?
That's what it is? Or is
but
it,
more glowy.
So it's like a creamy, white, glowy Donnie Darko Capri Sun.
Coming chest towards us.
And it's going slow, but, like, can I duck?
Well, you tried, but somehow it lashed out and hit you anyway.
So it, like, starts moving fast when I start ducking. I just want to make sure I know how I'm being dealt all these fucking points.
I guess it's not moving that fast, but and yet you're just unable to dodge, really.
Like, I'm so impressed by it. Like I've never, even though I'm in this world, I've never seen anything like it before.
I think you're just, we were maybe treating it too casually, and then you just realized too late, maybe.
Like, maybe it's like the first time I saw Donnie Darko and actually thought it was good and was like blinded by it.
Just because of the soundtrack?
Yeah. I was like, it is a mad world.
Oh, wow, yeah.
World.
I do think it's kind of funny.
People run in circles. It's a very, very mad world. I get it. Okay, I just wanted to know. Thanks. Thank you, Master.
Is he still
Master
waving his hands?
What's up?
Is he still waving his hands around?
He stopped that after you guys got hit by his attack.
Okay, so he stopped waving his hands once the semen was generated. Is he now going to take a nap? Because I say we get him while he's napping. I'm basing this on my spellcraft knowledge. Like that spell may have drained him.
Yeah, this is like a semen cloud. We could hit him during his refractory period.
Yeah.
Tell me when that is, because I got something for him.
Yeah. Is he 18 or?
He's old.
Then we have 7 minutes.
He's an old guy. He's an old.
All right,
dude.
Good. So we have 48 minutes.
Okay, good.
Anyways, whose turn is it?
I'll put a your turn.
I fucking charge. I charge at him. And, no, I don't. I don't. Can I cast? What's Bull's strength?
That makes you stronger.
Okay, so can I cast that on the run? Can I charge at him and cast Bull's strength and, like, pile into him like a football player?
Just to, like, knock him to the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I totally do that.
Bull strength! All right. Bull strength. Casting bull strength, you feel yourself get 4 points of strength stronger as you barrel into him directly. Let's see if that pans out.
I'm trying to immobilize him, like put my knees on his biceps like my brother did in the front yard, and then I'm going to hock loogies and suck them back into my mouth just before they hit my face. His face. And 30 years later, I'm not going to earn that much.
So, yeah, launching his knee, your knees directly into his chest, you pin him to the ground underneath you. Don't right. do any damage, though.
And I just, like, I put my hands in his face. Like, I've got my knees on his biceps, and I'm just, like, slapping him in the face. And go, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Oh, yeah. You should just stop hitting yourself with him.
Right, yeah. Stop hitting yourself.
He doesn't stop hitting himself.
Yes!
I look at these guys, and I'm like, this is the best.
All right.
Can we use some shackles?
What's up?
Can we use some shackles?
Yeah, you can definitely try.
You got shackles?
Yeah.
Oh. Good looking out.
Try as you might to restrain him, he's squiggling. Struggling is the word I was looking for. Struggling. Like some sort of squiggly line mayhap. and he's flailing his limbs too hard. He's flailing his limbs too hard to be contained. He's just flipping around like a golden retriever. He's flailing. Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
She wants to know if she can slap him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's successful. You're slapping him. He's flailing around. All right.
Can I do something?
Yeah.
All right. So he's been slapped around a bunch. He's pinned down.
He's pinned down, but he can't be shackled because he's too flailing around.
Yeah, that's fine. He doesn't need to be in shackles. Can I? I want to stab this motherfucker with a poison dagger. I want to get on top of him and stab him in the heart with a poison dagger. Can I?
Don't be afraid to get right behind me and reach over like Kelly McGillis in the Top Gun poster.
I want to get behind you like Demi Moore and go. Like I'm Swayze.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you're like Patrick Swayze.
This is how you stab someone with a poison dagger, Demi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Allow me.
But you're Swayze then, if you're behind me.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You got a two. You lunge towards him with your knife and do that Patrick Swayze thing, but it's all style over substance, and you just kind of graze his robe, maybe.
Yeah. Shouldn't have tried to do the Swayze.
common problem.
Cardinal mistake.
Common mistake. All right, bring us home, Ridley.
He's calling for a closer here, a closing move, Ridley.
I plant my feet. No reference to any movie from the 90s.
Smart.
Uh-oh. I pull out my flaming sword and I fucking swing it right at his head.
You do that. You hit him.
Yes!
And?
In the side of the head.
It's 10:08.
The weak side?
It's still the head. I mean, it's a serious... what is... It's a sword into the head. I mean, what are people complaining about?
Yeah.
We're looking for a closer here. We got work in the morning.
Well, I'm sorry. You're just doing a standard non-hilarious attack. Anyway...
Does he graze brain?
He hits him right in the head, dealing 22 damage.
Whoa! Is that a closer?
Blood pours from the wound, and then white light streams from his wound, consuming everything. You guys all can't see for a momentarily.
Fine by me.
I can't see. Can anybody see? I can't see.
I have a feeling this guy's going down.
I can't see yet.
Do you say that blindly?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean...
We hear him making noises, probably.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the side of my head fucking hurts, dude.
I'm dying. I'm dying. Shard of power, lend me your strength.
Is there more on the pad, or is that the end? All right. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Andy, the dolphin expert. Thank you, Dave Horowitz and Ryan Ridley, for a very Jewish, very edifying Harmontown.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Zach and Dustin in the booth. Thank you, Nerd Melt. I don't know. See you later.
I know you think that it ain't too far, but I hear a call of a lifetime ring. Felt the need to get up for it. Oh, you cut out the middleman. Get free from the middleman. You got no time for the messenger. Got no regard for the thing that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog. That's why you will not survive.